This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Today's guest is right at the center of the loyalty revolution. Lynn Dye is a points and miles enthusiast, a serial entrepreneur, and the CEO of Superlogic, a company backed by American Express and many others that powers rewards platforms for some of the biggest names in travel and credit cards. He's also the founder of Bookit.com, a new platform unlocking incredible value on travel and once-in-a-lifetime experiences. In this episode, we're pulling back the curtain on what Lynn's seeing behind the scenes, from major trends in how loyalty programs are evolving to how smart travelers are shifting their strategies in response to inflation, dynamic pricing, and devaluations. And be sure to stick around to the end, because Lynn's got an exclusive deal just for our listeners that could completely change how you book your next trip.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. We've got a fantastic and unique guest ready for all of you guys this week. But before we introduce him, a couple quick reminders. For those of you that watch our show on YouTube, we do have the quick hits, where is our more up-to-date travel news and points and miles news that comes out every Friday. That's in the audio-only formats for our podcast, so Apple Podcasts, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. And for those that listen to all of our shows, we have the full video version on YouTube if you didn't already know. Now, to our exciting guest, Lynn Dye, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Lynn, I know you are a points and miles nerd yourself, but you've got a lot of background and knowledge in the travel space. And so I want to unpack all of that. But before we do, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do for a living? Where are you? And how do you even get into the points and miles space?
Yeah, you know, I'm a 20-year New Yorker. I started my first company out of my dorm at Carnegie Mellon, and we moved the company to New York in the first.com. So I've been there ever since, and then escaped down to Florida in Miami, the sixth borough of New York, you know, as it turns out, and, you know, been loving Miami. The Miami tech ecosystem is booming. It's growing. The mayor is super supportive of different innovations and ideas. So really happy to be building kind of our company down here. How I got in the points and miles game, as many of us do, is through a friend. Actually, one of my co-founders, who's been a personal friend for 15 years, we took years ago when we were, you know, I think like 10 plus years ago, we took a trip to China together. And when boarding the plane, he turned left. And, you know, we were young and we didn't really have money. I was like, how do you do that, right? Like that entire trip then inspired me. And he was like, then telling me how he scored an upgrade and how that works. So I dove down the rabbit hole ever since then.
Got it. So the famed turned left, which for those who don't know, who may be newer to the points and miles world and newer to the luxury side of points and miles, right? When you turn left, especially into the larger airplanes, that is the business in the first class cabin. So turning left is that great feeling of like, hey, you know, we've got the lie flat seats. We're going to have the unlimited champagne and alcohol and all the things to enjoy the flight. And we might even have a shower on this plane as well, depending on the type of plane that you're on. So that's an entire experience in its own. You got started because you saw your friend take this amazing trip and you're like, okay, there's got to be some way he's figured this out. And you've turned that into an entire, I don't say career based on travel, but there's a lot of things obviously that you do. And I know we're going to get into some of that. But my main reason for having you on the show today is I wanted to combine talking through points and miles and loyalty with the state of travel and how we're seeing things evolve and change at this kind of a little past the mid part of the year. So Lynn, one of my questions I have for you is what are the biggest challenges that you're seeing to how consumers approach travel and rewards travel now? You know, when it comes to, you know, being a few years past the pandemic, where we have inflation that are rising, right, which is affecting not only our day-to-day cash flow, but also the expenses that businesses have and airlines and hotels have as well. How are you seeing all this kind of affecting the trends with travel?
Yeah, you know, there are definitely trends that's like shifting in both travel and in specifically in like, you know, loyalty and award travel, right? So I'll say travel is hotter than ever. I just got back from Japan and I just read a stat already this year. There's more Americans travel to Japan than to Paris. So, you know, not only are we're traveling further, we're experiencing other cultures. Americans wanting to travel is unstoppable force globally, right? And it's like propping up economies around the world. That's for sure. Americans and Chinese travelers. And the award travel has changed a lot over the last 10 years. It's definitely getting harder and harder to find good award redemption space. All of the major programs have gone, for the most part, have gone to dynamic pricing. So less value for your points and miles. So what were kind of very tried and true points and miles methodologies in the beginning, 10 years ago, doesn't apply anymore, right? Space is limited. I think there's more and more people interested in the space, but unfortunately, the ability to get the right deal, the right award redemption has been more complicated than ever. So all of that combined, like, really inspired a lot of the work we do now at SuperLogic.
Can you explain a little bit about what you do at SuperLogic, kind of at a high level? And again, I know we're going to kind of wrap up getting into some more of the details, but at a high level, what is it that you do at SuperLogic? I know you're the CEO, you found this incredible company. So what is it?
Yeah, in the simplest term, we build a kind of next generation rewards technology and a rewards inventory for major programs, especially major kind of credit card programs, right? So our technology and inventory is most likely white labeled. You may see it as your favorite credit cards, rewards, travel rewards, or experiential rewards. But, you know, the system is built by us and a lot of the inventory is negotiated through our wholesale deals. So,
wow. So you're talking the inventory that we all see online. I know that American Express is a huge investor of your company. And so I know you probably can't get into too many details yourself, but I'm going to wager that someone that's a huge investor, you're probably helping to support their platform. And a lot of the things that we find when we look through their inventory of travel and rewards and points and such, sounds like passes through this technology that you've built.
Yeah, you know, we support many of the top credit card and some of the top travel rewards programs, right? So a lot of it is because kind of the direct redemption capabilities from these programs are somewhat limited, but on the other side, the consumer demand is insatiable. People, especially millennials and Gen Zs, want to spend their points on travel and other aspirational opportunities, such as when you love to redeem your points for Taylor Swift tickets, or, you know, FIFA is coming up. Wouldn't you love to redeem your tickets to see Cristiano Ronaldo to play, or any of your favorite sports music, entertainment, culinary experiences. So we're way beyond travel, but kind of rewards as a whole, aspirational and experiential redemption opportunity. That's why we kind of say we build kind of the next gen rewards system for some of the biggest credit card and other rewards programs.
So you said that you're finding that millennials were traveling a little bit different. We've got this, as you call it, an insatiable urge to use our points for a variety of different things. And I think it's interesting because in my mind, I immediately think points, I think travel, I think airfare, I think hotels. But you're right. If I could get Taylor Swift tickets, that's not really my style, but I know if someone could get Taylor Swift tickets with their points or catch a football game or a Super Bowl or whatever it may be, like that's a really unique way to be able to use your points. So how, let me ask you this, Lynn, how are brands really adapting to this new wave? Obviously, you have this technology that helps with this, but how are they able to provide more value to travelers, or are they not? Are you seeing some brands are getting left behind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think travel has proven to be a new user driver for some of the leading programs, right? You know, I think both American Express and Chase, as well as Capital One, done really great jobs offering product lines that specifically reward you for travel. And why are millennials and Gen Z attracted to it? It's because it's aspirational, right? Like a flight ticket is maybe $500, but that represents you going to a different destination, experiencing a whole different lifestyle that is beyond kind of what $500 of product can give you. So now the broader concept of that, that every, you know, some of the leading programs all kind of realize is experiences in general, like beyond travel, right? Beyond travel is hard, right? Like there are hundreds of top concert tours, thousands of festivals around the world, and thousands of sports games. And it's hard. These are not published through a same system for travel. For kind of on a technology side, there's this thing called GDS, right? Global Distribution System, that you can get a lot of inventory from. So it's very fragmented. So part of what we do is we provide travel inventory and system, but also we aggregate with the first company to really aggregate lots of top tier VIP experiences from in sports, music, culinary, lifestyle, and be able to offer that for rewards and points redemption in some of the top programs. And that is really kind of the growth area. And we think over the next kind of 2 to 3 years, a lot of your favorite rewards program will be putting that front and center, right?
You know, in the points and miles space, the best way to get value for your points is typically that transfer directly to an airline or a hotel versus using the Amex portal or the Chase portal or the Capital One portal. I would imagine, obviously, that those are still going to be the ways to get the most value, even though you could get a festival ticket or a concert or whatever it may be. Are you seeing an opportunity perhaps in the future for someone who values the experiences to maybe a transfer directly to a, I don't know, StubHub or Vivid Seats or Ticketmaster so you can get more value out of your points versus just booking through the, you know, Chase, I don't know the exact title of it, but the Chase experience or the Amex experience? Are there opportunities that you're finding possibly in the future coming like that?
Yeah, it doesn't work exactly like that, right? So we think the ability to transfer and find deals is really kind of a like a loophole that is closing more and more, tightening more and more every day. The reason you will find low reward redemption rate, like I just flew back from Japan to the US on JAL business class, 60,000 miles, multiple tickets, right? Like very available about 2 weeks out. So it's because the airline hasn't sold that and they don't want to publicly discount cash price. Discounting cash price makes the person that paid $5,000 for that flight feels very bad and won't buy that ticket again. So they quietly basically unload a lower price redemption, and sometimes not through their own site. They do it through their partner site, right? So those are only if there is a mismatch between supply and demand. For concerts and sports and events and experiences, ticketed experiences in general, there's a pretty efficient market. That not only there is a primary market, there is a secondary market, right? Like the StubHubs of the world. So basically the hot tickets like the Kendrick Lamar tour or NBA finals, not only do they sell quickly on the primary site within a few minutes, they immediately show up on secondary sites across the board. And those offering are not, there's no competing offers. If you want to go see Kendrick Lamar at the LA Forum or whatever he's playing, like, you're not competing with a different way to see, right? You know, there are different tickets and different seats you can compete with, you know, on secondary markets. So you're pretty much buying it from Ticketmaster. Or if you can't get that, you are trying to score a competitive deal on StubHub and such. So we basically kind of do a little bit both, right? So we have access to every ticket on the secondary market, and we have wholesale agreements with the providers for those. So we can actually price them lower in points than what you will find on StubHub. That's number one, right? And StubHub charges an exorbitant fee. The price you're seeing is not the price you end up paying, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, to be able to use your points for a better deal than you can get on StubHub is great to start, right? And second is for super VIP stuff, right? Like things like Super Bowl and such, like we'll get exclusive inventory. And those are basically allocated specifically for a program. You can only get that inventory if you spend points or points plus cash if you are a member of that program. You know, we think those are great. Those are basically essentially becomes kind of a marketing tool for the program to basically reach out to their member to say, like, hey, like, you know, Royal Airline users or Royal Credit Card users, like, we brought you exclusive access to this concert, to that sports game, right? And the benefit for the programs are we actually do it in a way where we secure the inventory and they don't pay a sponsorship fee.
Got it. So that's, I mean, it's obviously super unique, super niche, and a way, I think, to revolutionize the way that people use their points in a way different from travel or in conjunction with travel. Because perhaps, especially if you're maybe a business owner, if you use, you know, we have the strategies we talk about, like how we can earn points from our payroll and things like that, where you can accumulate a lot of points. And, you know, I've got friends, I've got people I know that have millions of points between Amex and Chase or whatever it may be, that they're likely not going to spend it all on travel because they just don't travel that much. But now they can see that they can get this experience opportunity for themselves and clients, their team, whatever it may be, that still brings value to their points. So I know it's very different from what we would typically talk about with travel and points and miles, but I do think it's unique to talk through that this is an opportunity. But I want to pivot a little bit, because in preparation for this conversation, I know you have something that you coin Revenge Travel 2.0. And I would love for you to explain what that is and how does it have travelers rethinking value when it comes to travel?
Yeah, you know, before we get into that, like, I think part of the whole genesis of a lot of this is, as a points earner myself, I spent a lot of time studying the different ways to transfer points and miles and be able to book personal travels, right? And of course, like all of us that is into that, like, you're always constantly trying to really educate other friends and other people and try to bring them and teach them how to do this. And I basically got to a point where I really tried to teach my parents how to do this. I got to a point where I realized most of the people is just not going to really understand the complexity of points and miles transfer and points and miles search for this inventory and be able to make the commitment or have the lifestyle ability to be flexible on dates and time to really take advantage of this. And what most people would really love to do is be able to travel and have one point system, but get lots of points very easily without doing anything different than book travel, and then be able to spend those points without limitation. So that's like very difficult to kind of achieve in today's points and miles games, right? You know, what we see is basically revenge travel was like started, you know, that term was coined like after COVID, people didn't travel for 2 years and everybody is like, go travel like crazy, right? Essentially, what is happening now, I think earlier this year, there was a lot of anxiety over tariff and economy and everything. So we see a lot of travel data. We actually see like some of the category booking travel is significantly down towards the end of Q1. Consumers are just like really anxious. But economy is overall healthy, and we're seeing an explosion now of people for the summer really traveling, but also trying to new destinations like Japan and such, right? So we have this thesis for millennials and Gen Z. You know, I call it the lonely generation. It's a generation that really grew up on like swipes, right? To be able to have a real world experience is worth more than its weight in gold, right? That's why like kind of I think travel and travel credit cards and points cater to that. Like that idea really resonated well with millennials and Gen Z. And that's why, you know, some of the most successful credit card programs like American Express does extremely good job in attracting millennials and Gen Z signups. And we see that Chase just did a whole refresh of their Sapphire benefit line. That actually includes $200 or $300 credit to StubHub, right? Experiences and concerts is like front and center, right? These are kind of in a very digitally connected, but also digitally isolated generation that's like that in real life experience. When you do have the opportunity, whether it's travel or going to a concert or a festival or going to a sports game, and to be with like-minded people is so, so important.
So when you're working with the big brands that you work with, because you have this insider access and knowledge and connection that I think it's important to try to dig a little bit deeper into, I'm curious, how do they really think about loyalty? Is their goal to actually reward, or is it to have this perception of rewarding, but they're trying to keep it restricted as well? What are you seeing in this space? Because obviously we know devaluations are coming, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But in general, is it really to reward? Is it market share? Or is it, hey, let them feel like they're getting some value, but we're going to keep this pretty restricted?
Yeah, I see kind of different attitudes between brands. I think all the top programs with popular loyalty programs already done a good job. They do put their loyalty program first, right? They're a loyalty rewards company that happened to run a hotel chain or happened to run a airline, right? So that's very clear, right? Like the successful companies that already kind of made that the central mission. Now, the difference is companies like American Express and Chase is the philosophy really is like unengaged user is bad. We rather you give value or find ways to give value out of points, and then you become engaged and active rather than you have a million points and you don't want to spend it. That's an unengaged user, right? Even though that million point, if it's not spent, it's actually like money that they don't have to pay out. It's much better. It's much more important for an engaged user to actively spend their point. The counter to that is, you know, we do see major hotel chains and some major airlines constantly aggressively devalue their points, right? I literally was like, end of April was like with another family, we were planning on booking the JW Marriott in the New JW Marriott at St. Martin. And then like, I didn't book, you know, our friends booked it immediately. I didn't book. And then a few weeks later, I checked. It's like literally cost 130,000 more points for the exact same dates. The quiet devaluation of the points is, you know, I think it hasn't gone unnoticed by heavy travelers, right? That leaves a very bad taste in my mouth. And it's like really positive experience with the brand. I couldn't have that experience, you know, traveling together with our friends, family. So I think out of all the hotel brands, Hyatt has done a great job sticking to the award calendar schedule, right? Like it's a fixed rate band per category of hotels. And they know, and they're kind of catering to points and mile savvy travelers. They don't have a department that's optimizing revenue. They have made a calculation. It's more important, even if they kind of balance losing or break even on the revenue generated on points booking. They are getting a lot more revenue from the same customer paying cash rates to earn the points, right? So, you know, I think in the airline space, Alaska does the best job giving just unbelievable redemption rates across the board. On June 30th, their transfer loophole is closing, but I think that only allows them to maintain and better deliver the ability to kind of maintain the low redemption margin. So there's still brands that are really kind of leaning hard on that. But I think in airline and hotel space, it's like the minority versus the majority are optimizing for kind of revenue optimization, and dynamic pricing is revenue optimization, right? So I think in the long run, that's going to hurt the loyalty of their members, right? So they're still going to have lots of business, but their loyal users are going to get less loyal and maybe promiscuous. And maybe every once in a while, they're going to consider switching over to another alliance, or even if they lose like one or two flights a year, that's pretty significant, right? If you lose one or two flights a year from your heaviest travelers across the board.
So do you feel like we're hitting, I don't know, a wall or a plateau to start seeing some pushback? I mean, is there a scenario that you imagine or foresee where devaluation after devaluation happens, especially with the Marriotts and the Hiltons and the various airlines out there, and it gets to a point where they actually realize that this is hurting them more than it's benefiting them, and we start to see that possibly go the other direction? Or is there one day that we could see like that JW Marriott that went up to, 130,000 points more for the stay could eventually come back down because they said, you know what, let's actually add more value back to these points instead of keep devaluing them. What do you think there?
So it cuts both ways. So I have a couple of theses on this. So number one, like dynamic pricing cuts both ways, right? It also means if the hotel have unsold inventory, they can't actually just like lower the price, which will happen, right? If people just don't go. But if you basically place that against the bigger backdrop of more and more people just going to want to travel and pay cash price, so that makes finding a war redemption at a more affordable rate less likely. The bigger backdrop of the total travel industry versus a war travel industry is that the Marriotts of the world are extremely data-driven and very savvy about their decision, right? It is not that like they just don't care about their a war traveler. They made the calculation that they're not going to lose any cash business. Cash business is strong, and they care more about optimizing for that than give away extra reward. So on that front, so I think it's a little bit of a dream that these brands going to wake up to like rejigger their business to cater specifically to the points and miles optimizing savvy crowd. All of that like combination lead to one of the latest product we launched is this thing called bookit.com. So we essentially think the overall trend is that loyalty is over. There's no such thing as being loyal to one brand. There's like very few brands I'm extremely loyal to. And in general, devaluation is going to happen. So the way to really position yourself as a average consumer or as a points and miles expert really is go towards more universal rewards earning. And that could be done through credit card earning and transferable points, sure. But on top of that, instead of being super locked into one program or one brand, Bookit.com essentially aggregated 2 million suppliers. So that's every airline, every hotel, all the major hotel for sure, plus hundreds of thousands of boutique hotels, plus product brands, premium product brands, everybody from Samsung to Prada to Dolce & Gabbana, like Van Olufsen, Tumi Luggage. So all of these products and travel and cruise lines and resorts capability, we have negotiated wholesale net rate agreements with all of these brands, right? If you make a booking on Bookit.com, you're still paying the same rate you would on publicly available rate from directly from the brand or directly on an Expedia or whatever. Expedia will give you like 1% back as rewards. We will give you like 10% back. In some cases, 20, 30% back, dynamically priced based on our wholesale agreement. Actually, I found a resort I would be giving 70% back in rewards, which is like kind of unheard of. The rewards point is given back in a universal common points. It's a new point called Spree Points. Spree Points can be spent back at any of these 2 million merchants. And maybe it's not like the perfect product for today's savviest points and miles hackers, but it's like great for kind of the average user who doesn't have hours to study all the ways to optimize. They can just know they're getting 10, 20, 30% back on top of what they get from their credit card companies and airline miles program. You still get those miles. And plus you just get this like additional kind of universal point that you can spend anywhere.
Hey everyone, quick break from the episode. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you've gotten any value so far, it would mean the world if you left a quick rating or review. It helps more people discover the show and keeps us motivated to keep creating great content. Also, if you're feeling stuck or want help with points and miles, whether it's picking your first card, planning a big redemption, or even having someone book it all for you, we've got you covered. There's a link in the show notes to schedule a free points and miles consultation. Just fill out a quick questionnaire, tell us your goals, and we'll take it from there. And don't forget, our newsletter and private Facebook group are great ways to stay on top of breaking news, updated card offers, and tips that don't always make it into the podcast. You'll find those links in the show notes as well. Now, back to the episode. So let me take a quick step back here, because when it comes to status and loyalty, as you know, if I want to get my Hyatt nights, right, I'm booking through Hyatt to get all the points and all the benefits. Same thing with Hilton and Marriott, American Airlines. Like, I'm going to book American Airlines direct with American. I'm not booking through Expedia for multiple reasons, mostly because of just customer service, but there's other reasons there as well. But you just said at the end there that if you go through bookit.com, you have the ability to still get your airline and hotel miles. You get to also get this additional miles or points called Spree points that are universal and can be used for future things. So am I hearing you correctly that I can keep my Hilton status and rewards and Hilton points with a booking and additionally get these Spree points? And then, of course, also on top of that, my credit card points as well. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah. So specifically, you definitely get your credit card points like normal, right? It's just it's a travel booking. For airlines, you get the exact airline miles plus the airline flu segment, exactly the same. For hotels, for some hotels, your account basically, you know, you'll also get miles plus qualifying nights. For most hotels, you'll get the qualifying nights. So you'll still count towards that you stayed 5 nights at Hilton, except like you won't get the miles, right? Because the rates are different. But you can run the calculation. If you're not a top tier Hilton member, you're getting what, like 4 points or less per stay. And you can basically take a look at, you know, booking on Hookit. You potentially, you can get 9% back on an average booking.
So with Bookit.com, outside of the hotels and the airlines, which I think are common for someone to perhaps look into, I know part of what we talked about early on is more experiences. Are you looping experiences into that as well?
Yeah. You know, outside of hotel and airlines, Bookit, we have incredible deals in the cruise space, significantly better than anywhere you can find. And also resorts, right? Like if you basically decide to book 1 week plus at any Caribbean resort, you'll get 30-40% back compared to the comparable, paying the exact same rate you would pay directly with the resort. So experiences is a big part of this. So there's like three types of experiences. There are local experiences, right? So those are local food tours and private guided tour to the Louvre, things like that. We have that in across around the world, about 300,000 different experiences. And then you have live ticket. So concert experiences, mostly in North America and some in Europe. We're constantly expanding that. That's actually in beta right now, only to our highest tier members. Will kind of launch fully in probably in the next like month. With that, also the VIP packages will also launch fully in the next month.
That's exciting. So I'm going to make sure that we grab the info for the listeners for Bookit there. But as we start to wrap up a little bit, Lynn, if you can kind of cast a wide net, look towards the future, what do you see the next few years, let's say 5 years, look like when it comes in general to travel rewards and consumer loyalty? I know that you have essentially a tech company and we're looking to be on the cusp of technology here. So obviously what you're building, you think the future is heading more so in that direction. I think you're right with people looking to still get points, but simplify what they're doing. In general, when you look at the points and miles, the credit card companies, the hotels, the airlines, since you have this insider look into it, where do you see the next 5 years going?
Yeah, you know, I think travel is going to continue to be a top popular option for rewards redemption. I know us points and miles nerds like really aggressively hate on redemption inside the direct travel portal by credit card companies, but the amount of points that gets burned through these travel portals are astronomical compared to the amount that gets transferred. transfer is a nice feature for a subset of users. There's probably, you know, I think statistically about 1 to 2 million points and miles super savvy users versus 200 plus million users in America have some kind of credit card product. I think we aggregate have like billions of cards, right? Like every one of us have more cards than necessary. So I think points earning and redemption will become more easier for the general audience. There is a growth area where you actually get a little better value through generalized redemption. Unfortunately, I think a war space, the really great deals of transferring is only going to go less, right? Like airlines and hotels have been done a very good job managing their inventory and selling and pricing for cash rates. So I don't see that goes away. There's still going to be deals, but we're basically have 2 million people competing for the same amount or maybe less amount of great deals if inventory gets less, right? But I think the big open opportunity is experiences beyond travel. If we can actually have more ability to spend our points on more things, that opens up a whole new world of value. And perhaps like who can really afford to pay for $10,000 a pair of Taylor Swift tickets versus if you can spend less points and for that experience that like is a core memory for your daughter or your partner or whatever, right? I think we're going towards kind of like, you know, there is going to be calculations against point value or percent per point when redeemed into experiences, but also there is kind of like beyond that, kind of the aspirational value. You know, I think that will opens up a whole new opportunity for those of us who use points, right? It's just not that easy to redeem your points for, you know, to go to the NBA finals right now. That's all going to change in the next like 2 to 3 years.
I think that's super interesting because if you would say, hey, do you want to get these high-end Taylor Swift floor seat tickets or whatever it may be, suite tickets, and they're $10,000, I'd be like, I'm never going to spend that much. I'll maybe spend $200, but I'm not spending $10,000. But then at the same time, I'd probably say the same thing about flying Emirates business class or first class. Like, I'm not trying to spend $10,000 or $15,000 for a plane ticket to go to Dubai or the Maldives or wherever else I'm going in the world. But to create the memory, to use the points, pay a little bit in taxes and fees, and now I'm popping bottles on the plane and I had this great experience and oh my gosh, I got all this value per point and I only, you know, I pay for less than the cost of economy. I can start to see where for someone that maybe travel isn't as big for them, but they see the value of efficiency of money and their dollars, that can be huge because while this podcast obviously is focused on travel, revolutionizing your journey, a big aspect of what we talk about is essentially how to play the financial game differently. And as a financial advisor, you know, I'm always talking about fiscal responsibility, being smart with your money. And if you can take a $10,000 experience and contract it down to $1,000, let's just say, you get the value without having the out-of-pocket cost, that's absolutely huge. And for like, you know, my clients that are in retirement or planning for retirement, they have to pull from their investment accounts to live these experiences, to have a honeymoon or whatever it may be. This changes the game for them. And I think that's super insightful and a unique approach and really appreciate this conversation because I think it lends a different lens to the world of points and miles.
Yeah, I'll give two other examples if we have some time.
Absolutely.
You know, number one, at the high-end business travelers, right? Like if you own your own business, maybe there is a strategy to just pay for cash ticket for travel, right? Because that's likely a writable business expense.
Absolutely.
So you want to optimize against that, right? Because otherwise you're paying like 30, 40% taxes on your income. And then what do you do with your points, right? So that is a kind of one of how many, many business traveler, either your company pays for your ticket travel or, you know, as an owner, you want to write off the travel as expense, then you have all these points you can't use, right? So wouldn't that be great if you have some other things you can't write off as business expense, right? Taking your daughter to Taylor Swift concert is probably not write-offable, but you can spend your points on that and it will be a great experience. And number two is, for not super big points bank holders, right? Like let's say my dad, and we all have rogue points that have 4,000 points in some program that I'll never have enough to for a full flight or a full hotel night stay. It's kind of stuck. We have these really successful programs. We've done this program where you can redeem 1 point for a chance to go see Madonna in concert. Premium seats, front row. Some real fan won that. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people that entered, but for like 1 point and for these like rogue amount of point dusts, right? That you can basically just enter into a bunch of times, right? Enter like 100 times, 1,000 times. You know, that's like $10 worth of points for a chance to be like front row. Those are like $5,000 tickets, right? To be able to experience that. So I think like having additional options is really great to supplement, complement what you can already do with your points in travel.
Absolutely incredible. And I think that's a really unique take. I'm curious, just going back a little bit, when talking about Bookit.com, you talked about the kind of the percentage back, right? It's higher than Expedia. You said, you know, 10, 20, 30 plus, even as high as 70%. Is this coming back in literally as cashback or in the value from a point standpoint? Can you explain that little piece there?
Yeah, it's coming back as a rewards points, right? Like we're basically giving, depends on the membership tier you have, we're giving up to 90% of all our net margin back to you as rewards points. Because just how travel wholesale agreements are structured, you know, we're not allowed to price the product lower than what the hotel or airline are pricing on their side, right? Like, so I can't actually give you a significant discount on those, but I can give you back in the form of rewards, a large amount of rewards. So that's kind of how we're going about it. And also the inventory cannot be publicly available, searchable by typing in Google. So we had to put that behind kind of a membership wall. So we have 3-tier memberships. It's typically $99 for a gold membership and $199 for a platinum membership a year, and then $499 for a diamond membership. But I really enjoy kind of spending time on this pod with you. So for your loyal listeners, we love to offer kind of a chance to try out our gold membership for 80% off. So it's $19 for the first year. You can use the promo code. You can just go to join.bookit.com/boldlygo. And that'll be available to all of your listeners for this like special promo offer. So,
Lynn, that's extremely generous of you guys. Really appreciate it. I think that's awesome to be able to always pass on something new to our listeners and an opportunity to help them revolutionize their travels. So extremely generous of you and your team for putting that together for us. And it's something that I'm absolutely going to take a look into because I think it's a unique direction that you guys are going in and an opportunity, again, to help revolutionize the way that people think about points and their travels, and it can not change what they're already doing. And like I know you said earlier, for the super hardcore points and miles user, it may not fit in 100% of the places, but there's probably areas that it does. And then for the person that's trying to be more of a casual points and miles user, it could have a lot more value to them as well. So I think that's absolutely incredible. So thank you.
Yeah, I think there's a space for both, right? I love kind of nerding out with all the other expert points and miles users, but also just for kind of the entry-level users, you know, having all your rewards accumulated to one currency, right? Which like doesn't matter, you can book hotels and flights, you accumulate one currency, and then you have the ability to spend that with 2 million different brands. You don't even have to spend on travel. You can book a trip and then use your point to buy a Tumi luggage with it, right? Or a pair of Prada sunglasses. So it's basically as close to a universal point as we can make it today. So
that's awesome. Absolutely, Lynn. So we'll check that out. We'll link it in the show notes as well for everybody. Put it on our website so everyone can take advantage of it that listens to the show. Lynn, this has been fantastic. Before we wrap up, we spent a lot of time talking through more of the corporate business side of points and miles. I'd love to wrap up on more of the personal side with your personal experiences with travel and just ask you, from your own travels, what do you feel like are some of the most underrated loyalty programs or redemptions right now at kind of a high level?
Yeah, I mean, I just really matched over to the Hyatt ecosystem about a year ago. And it's like truly incredible in this age of everything devaluation. You can count down something, right? Like Hyatt still devaluates a little bit, but it's kind of a published and measurable and planable event, right? So the hospitality of the Hyatt team, local team on property, towards loyal globalist users is like incredible. You know, it's very hard. I mean, I was a Star Wars guy before Marriott, and I'm still like titanium on Marriott. And I'm just like, it's really difficult to explain to other Marriott users why like you should explore this other ecosystem, right? And country-wise, most underrated is still Japan. I know more Americans are traveling there now. If you haven't, don't worry about Europe this summer. Book a trip to Japan and last minute, 2 to 3 weeks out, great deals on JAL. You can redeem using American Airline miles, Alaska miles, a bunch of like kind of JAL, like One World partner miles. I think you can find a lot of last minute deals on going over and coming back in business. And the food is incredible. The country's hospitality is incredible. I enjoy friends. My wife always say like, why am I paying so much to be in a restaurant and be ignored by the waiter for 2.5 hours? That does not happen in Japan. Literally on the Shinkansen, the bullet train, there's like kind of the police or like inspector that walks across from car to car, right? At the end of the car, they walk from one end of the car to the other end of the car. Before they leave and go to the next car, the inspector will turn around and facing the car and bow to everyone before leaving the car. Think about that's like how much pride they take in their job of somebody that's the job is like patrolling the train. And the hospitality, the experience, it's a great country. This is like before the yen dollar difference narrows, definitely take advantage of this opportunity now.
So I got to ask, because obviously with points and miles, right, we have to think and do things differently. Most people, if you were to say, book a trip to Japan, however many months from now, they would be, okay, I got to get my flights to Japan, I got to get my hotels to Japan. Okay, cool, I'm going to Japan in 6 months. Yay, it's booked. But you just said the availability is best a couple weeks out. So if someone was booking for themselves, maybe themselves and their family, or their significant other or player two, whoever it may be, would you tell them that for now it's actually a good idea to just wait until closer up and they might have this anxiety buildup, but that's when they'll find the sweet spot with JAL, if, assuming they have American Airlines miles or transferable points or whatever, maybe would that be a recommendation?
I would say just be curious. Just start looking. Look on tools like Seas.aero and whatever, which you have, you can do free searches like within 30 days. Just like look what's available in the next 30 days. And see if that like you can get off work or whatever, right? Be flexible if you have the points and miles, if you're able to transfer. The deals are happening like literally right now. Like I could not believe it, right? Like I planned my trip a long time ago and I found some ticket like a while ago, like for 120,000 miles business class coming back. And I thought that was a deal. And then the great thing about points and miles tickets is you can cancel for free for the most part. And then like 2 weeks out, I was just curious. I was literally in traveling already and I'm like looking it up just in case. And it's 50% less miles. What an incredible deal, right? So I think the best points redemption window is either 355 days out, right? Like usually about 11 to 12 months out, the airline first publish their inventory. And most people can't plan that far out. It's like actually probably easier for you to know exactly, like if you find a deal, can you go or not in 3 weeks, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think that it's a sweet spot you have to kind of figure out. It's easier if you're a solo traveler or like my fiance and I, we don't have kids, don't have plans to have kids. So we can look and see, hey, can we be in Japan in 2 weeks and like pull the trigger? But obviously you have to have a little bit of flexibility there to make it ideal.
Yeah. Be flexible on the airport too, right? Search for Chicago to Tokyo and also search for San Diego to Tokyo. Those are like less searched routes, lots of availability. But also, you know, there are availability between LA and New York as well, but probably less good.
Got it. Great advice there. Lynn, we got to wrap this one up. But before we do, I want to do something I very rarely have ever done, which is a rapid fire of questions, super light, high level answers, and just going to throw a handful at you and just would love to hear your responses. And this is all related to the personal, kind of your personal experience with points and miles and travel. You ready?
Okay, sure.
Window or aisle seat?
Aisle.
Aisle, perfect. Favorite business or first class experience that you've had?
Qatar Q Suite.
That's a good one. Qatar Q Suites was fantastic. One or favorite travel app that you can't live without?
Seas.aero.
Seaside Arrow. Okay, perfect for the points booking. Love it. Dream destination that you haven't gotten to yet.
I want to do an African safari, so I haven't done that yet.
We have that in common as well. That's still on the bucket list to get to. And then lastly, so how was the JAL business class that you just took?
You know, Tokyo to US, incredible, right? And if you're in business, get the Japanese meal set. Like, they brought out this thing that's like 10 different dishes, and I finished it, and then they're like, are you ready for your main course? And they brought another box with like five different things. It's like incredible. And also the sleeper is for your like anytime meal or like the second meal, like ask for the ramen, not the ramen rice bowl, but the ramen. It's incredible. It's like as good as the top ramen places, Michelin star ramen places, almost as close as that in Japan. It's like on a plane. Incredible. I flew out there on JL also, but I flew out of Hawaii. That was a much shorter flight. And that was like a weird configuration. Business class and services was good, but compared to the Tokyo to US mainland flights, it's a different level, right? US mainland to Tokyo flight, I would do that any day.
Awesome. Lynn, this has been fantastic. I know you already mentioned the discount link, the 80% off that the listeners can get access to. We'll put that in the show notes. If they want to learn more about yourself or connect with you or SuperLogic, your much larger company, what's the best way for them to do so?
Yeah, you can always follow on social, either joinbookit, at joinbookit, or my personal handle is at thepointsdie. D-A-I is my last name. So instead of the points guy, it's the points die.
I love that. That's super creative and that works. Great. Lynn, any last things before we wrap this one up? Any other final thoughts you have for the listeners?
No, I think we'd love for everyone to check out bookit.com. And we're still early. So this is a new product we launched in addition to kind of a lot of our white label software, right? So this is the kind of the first foray to actually offering something directly to consumers. So I'd love for your listeners to kind of try out the promo and give us feedback. Let us know what kind of inventory deals you would love to see more or what can we improve on. Love to hear from everyone.
Would love that. Would love for the listeners, for you all to give some feedback direct to the points die and to bookit.com as well. Lynn, this has been great. I keep saying that because it has been. It's been super insightful, very unique take. There is one other question I forgot to ask you, which is very simply, who else should we have on the show for the future that you think the listeners will find some value with?
You know, I think there's all the people on the front lines of points and miles, everybody we love and follow, right? So I don't know if I have one or more to recommend, but there's lots of great influencers we should follow. But also, I think it will be also great to hear more directly from some of the people running the rewards program and designing the rewards programs, right? So.
Awesome. Lynn, great episode, great conversation. This has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
And for the listeners out there, be sure to check out that promo code and bookit.com. Provide us with feedback. Lynn and his team would love to hear about how it has helped you revolutionize your travels and going forward in the future, and maybe your approach to points and miles for the future. And if you enjoyed this episode today, make sure to follow us on all the social media channels, sign up for our newsletter, our private Facebook group, all that fun stuff. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Connect with Lynn and his team, the Bookit team, and we will catch you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.